Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15:58. In fact, we could read verse 57 as well. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes when we think of the church community, we just think of our own little church, but the church community also goes all over the world, all those that have given their lives to Jesus Christ, all the people that depend on Jesus for their salvation. There's so many people in our community. We're just a part. But isn't it wonderful to be part and that we can be part of each other as well? I was thinking about Pastor Stephen and the weeks he's been talking about prayer and reading the word and serving and the power of routine to, you know, be faithful in what the Lord has for you. But I was thinking more that there's a little more yet, and this Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and I just want us to look at this, but before, let's just pray. Father, pray that you'll take these words and put them in our hearts, Lord, that we don't forget what you've said to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, Paul knew that the Corinthians lived in a godless city, and there was lots of immorality and idols and anything goes type of a city and corruption and, well, there was even temple prostitution. There were over 1,000 prostitutes in the temple there. And I mean, the Christians had a lot outside. Then I think about us and all the things that are happening around our world and all the anything goes type of thing that's in our world. And we're facing similar things, actually, because we're living in a fallen world. But these Christians were facing discouragement. They were facing enemies, and they had quarreling amongst themselves. And sometimes they misused their freedom, and sometimes they misused their gifts. And then they had false teachings that came in amongst them. And so this is quite the thing that happened to them as a church. But what I like about it, this scripture, and we're going to go back in the chapter 15 as well. Paul, he gives them hope. You see, this is part of what was happening. He said, now if Christ has preached that he's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? So this was part of the problem. And then he talks about Christ in verse 52. And he says, and verse 20 as well. He says, he said, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And then he goes on to say, he talks about Christ rising from the dead, and he talks about their own resurrection in 52 and our resurrection as well. The dead will be raised incorruptible, it says. So he's encouraging them. And in verse 57, he even says to them, well, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want to call your attention to is the three challenges that he gives to them in this last verse. Because very important for us as a church to see these challenges as part of our challenge as well. Like in verse 1 to 4, I'm just going to say this to you. The Lord really spoke to the people in Corinth through Paul. Paul was their main preacher, if you want to put it that way. He was the one that really helped them get ahead. And he said to them first, he said, be steadfast. This was the first challenge, he said. And in verses 1 to 4, he said, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And he goes on. But I think what Paul is really saying when he says be steadfast, he's referring to this. keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because as a church, I mean, this is really something, how often we can forget. Not that we forget him, but sometimes we forget who we're serving, and sometimes we allow things to happen. I think this word kind of says, be steadfast. It's like gazing steadily. That's what I think of, but gazing steadily at something. And so he says, just remember, he said, the gospel. You know, he died for our sins, and he rose the third day, and he was seen by over 500 people at one time. I mean, be steadfast. Jesus did the work. Jesus saved us. He's the one that set us free. That's why we're in the community. That's why we're part of the church, because he set us free. And if we're faithful to the Lord, I mean, that's our decision. No one forces you to be faithful, right? You can decide not to be faithful, but as a church, we need to be faithful. Knowing that, and we all know, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And things can distract us, like problems, cares of life, raising kids, right? It's easy to focus on yourself, because we live in a world, and I think you've noticed that every time I see an interview about somebody and their troubles on the TV, they always say, you know, you have to think of yourself. You have to make sure that you are okay. Don't worry about everybody else. You know, this is our world today. I mean, you know, it's easy to focus on ourselves because we're told to focus on ourselves. That's kind of a world philosophy. But here he says, Jesus, who died and rose again for us, the one who paid the price for us, we're to focus on him. You know, it makes quite a bit of difference as a church. If we look at all the circumstances in our church, sometimes we can get pretty discouraged. And sometimes we can take our eyes off the Lord. Not that we're running away from God, but more the idea of we get focused on these other things instead of saying, Lord, you're in control. Jesus, you're in control. You died for me. You're the one that set me free. You're in control. And the wonderful thing about this, we're not alone as individuals. And sometimes when we do get burdened down with some care, we're not alone, because that's where the Christian community comes in. That's where we need, you know, help from one another. I was thinking about one man who said, I remember him saying, well, you know, I don't go to church. I get all my church from the TV. And someone said to him, oh, does the TV hug you? Does the TV bury you? Does the TV marry you? What does TV do? You know, I think it's important for us to remember that we're in a body. We need each other. Sure, I can stay home and watch TV. I have some good favorite evangelists I like to watch. And so could you. But we need one another. We need to be steadfast. And what I think is so wonderful is that the Holy Spirit has given us his help. We're not alone in this situation. We're not alone as individuals. We're not alone as a church. The Holy Spirit is in our midst, and he helps us. I think of an example of steadfastness, a girl named Elizabeth. Way back in the 70s, when I first went to Fort Smith, we were just struggling with a handful of people, this dear Elizabeth, I had this little evangelist in, and he was preaching away, and Elizabeth came to the front, and I prayed with her. I looked in her eyes, and I thought, does she really know what she's doing? I mean, it seemed like she didn't really understand the gospel, but she accepted Jesus in her heart. Well, that started a long trip for her, but you know, I want to tell you something. I saw in her a steadfastness that I hadn't seen in a lot of people, because what happened was she had to go back amongst her people, and her people were into witchcraft very strongly, and they were also had another religion as well, And she was told, you know, that's not your religion, and you can't do this, and you shouldn't do this, and you should be with us. And so she had quite a bit on her plate. But what I noticed about her, she was so steadfast in serving Jesus. She ended up going to Bible school in Western Pentecostal Bible School on the coast. She did 3 years there. I thought she'll never make it. She had such a hard time there because some people were giving her a hard time. But you know, she kept her eyes on Jesus. Then she came to back north and she pastored in Fort Providence and Fort Resolution. And she that wasn't easy for her. She pastored. But she kept her eyes on the Lord. What I thought was really interesting was our little church, she was part of us. So what did we do? We prayed for her. We prevailed for her. We were steadfast for her. We asked the Lord to help her. We asked the Lord to do things in her life. So together, we saw this one person that needed help, and we just prayed her through. You know, that's the body of Christ is very important. And you know, Elizabeth had something happen to her. She had had a leg trouble, and the witch doctors had tried to cure her, but they couldn't cure her. But one day, she was in our church, and somebody prayed for her, and her legs were totally healed. Wow, that was even a strengthening. But today, Elizabeth, to make a long story short, she kept her eyes on the Lord. We prayed for her, and today she's in her hometown, which is very small, very witchcraft-centered, and she's teaching school. She got her degree in teaching, and she's teaching school, and as we prayed for her, she'd be laying her hands on all these little children that she deals with, and nobody stops her. She prays over them all her kids in school. I said, thank you, Lord, for someone who is steadfast. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be steadfast in praying for her. See, God is so wonderful. All he wants us to do is be thankful that he has saved us and be thankful that we can keep our eyes on him, and he's the one who gives us the Holy Spirit's power to keep walking for him. That's part of our community. We can't do it alone, folks. We're going to fail many times, but it's together. We pray for one another. We help one another. We keep a steadfast mind on the Lord because he's the only one that can help us. Then we look in the second part of this verse, and it says, be immovable. Now, I really weighed with this. I was thinking, now, what could be the difference between being steadfast and being immovable? Now, it's hard to discern that. What's the difference? Well, I looked in verse 12, and it says, I've just got to find it here. It said, how come some among you say there's no resurrection of the dead? Now, this is what I was thinking about. Not being moved by the enemy. Because, you see, he tries false teaching on us. Do you think any false teaching could come in our little church? I mean, he tries that. That's his mode. Like the Corinthians. He had even raised people up in the Corinthian church who said there was no resurrection. So don't bother thinking that Jesus rose from the dead, and don't bother thinking that you're going to rise either. That was pretty false teaching, I'd say. Well, and they had had trouble. I mean, they had division in the church community. But that's what the enemy tries to do, divide the community. And you know what I find that happens to us quite often? He throws our past into our face to weaken us. Oh, I'm not good enough. What can I do? What can I do? Look at my past. What can I do? I'm not good enough. Oh, no, you don't listen to that, because we're not going to be weakened by that. And even with the church, he can say, oh, you're just a little church. You're not going to make it. I mean, you're never going to see revival. I mean, you know, oh no, we're immovable. We are not going to listen to the taunts of the enemy. We are going to go ahead for God. You know, I was thinking one time, people were leaving Jesus. Now, they left him because they couldn't understand him. So there was a group of people that were so-called disciples, and they couldn't understand his teaching, so they left. And Jesus said to the disciples, are you leaving too? And you know what they said? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. I was thinking, wow, that's true. It's the Word of God that makes us immovable. As we learn from the Word of God, we've learned so much about community and sticking together and helping one another. And you know what? We're immovable. Immovable. That's what he says to be, immovable. One time someone came to preach in Fort Smith. And they were teaching false doctrine. And one of the ladies in our church, who was a native lady, she heard him saying something. And to add it all, of course, he didn't like lady preachers as well, so he was throwing that in. And do you know, this lady in the church went up to him and rebuked him in the name of the Lord. And I said, thank Lord, thank you, Lord, that that woman knew the Word of God enough to be able to see that it was false teaching. And that's what our pastor's been talking about, getting to know the Word of God so much that if something false does come in our midst, you know right away, because you've been in the Word of God and you understand the Word of God, so that you can be immovable. Nothing's going to move you from the Word of God. I'll tell you, that lady knew the Word, and I was so glad she did, because she was able to stop that before it got too far. How important it is that we as a body be immovable, beyond standing firm on the Word of God, using it, obeying it. And you know, Jesus defeated the enemy by using the Word. It is written 3 times, he said. So I think it's very important for us to realize that being immovable kind of shows stability. And how can we have stability except on the Word? Because it's what the Word says is true, then we are stable and we can be immovable because we know what it says. So I think that's so wonderful that we can have our strength in the Word. And I just think it's important as a church that we stand together and be. Just think of yourself as being immovable. Steadfast, keeping your eyes on Jesus, immovable, knowing the Word, you're not going anywhere, you're going to be immovable. And if someone hurts you, you know, kind of remind me one time, not so long ago, someone said to me, it was church was having troubles, and they said to me, are you going to leave the church too? I says, what? This is my church. I'm sticking with it. I'll pray it through. I don't care what people do or say. I'm sticking with it. Now, it wasn't so much the church, as we see, the building, but this is my community. These are my people. These are the people that I worship with. These are the people I help. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to pray them through. If they're having a tough time, I'm praying them through. Now, I could run to another church. Well, you might have trouble there. It's better to just pray it through where you are. Be immovable. Stand on the Word of God and be immovable. I think that's so important. And so Paul, he knows what he's talking about. He's talking to a church body, something like us. People that are learning the Word and people that have come out of many different things. And so he said to them, be immovable. Now, I like the third part of this. The third challenge. It says, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, this is something. Because I was smiling. You know, Paul knew what he was talking about. He had a job for them in the next chapter. He's already given them a job to do for the Lord. I just think that's so interesting. Because you see, this abounding means to be superabounding, overflowing, busily occupied in God's work. Overflowing. Now, well, I guess I better shovel the steps. Well, I guess I better help in the church. I do some vacuuming. I better do something, you know. That doesn't sound like abounding, does it? Wow, praise the Lord. I'm going to shovel the Lord's steps. I'm going to do something in the church. I'm going to help where I can. I'm going to do the work of the Lord. Wow, that sounds more like abounding to me, abounding in the work of the Lord. But I just had to laugh because here in the next chapter, here's what Paul says. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. Now, he had this job. He knew there were Christians in Jerusalem who were suffering economic disaster and pressure and food, hungry, and they needed a lot of help. And here, Paul, he's already given them a job. He said, do the work of the Lord. Do the work of the Lord abounding. And I'm sure that was going to affect them when he went on to the job and talked about his job. He said, wow. The Lord has a job for you guys. We need to help these people in Jerusalem. So let's take up an offering. When I come, we'll make sure it gets to Jerusalem. And he was getting excited that he was part of this. You know, we were taking up things for Erdo, and we were helping off with offerings and helping our missionaries. You know, we need to get excited about what God's going to do, because we never know what God's going to do. And that's kind of exciting. And here it says in Ephesians 2, I want to give you this scripture. It says, the Lord has a work for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. He's already preparing things for us to do. He's already giving us the ability to do the things that are planned for us. Wow. Even if we give a cup of water in Jesus' name, it's rewarded. That's what Jesus said. And it does say here, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord sees everything. He sees everything you're doing as a people of God. You know, as we work together in community, as he sees that we share and we help and we pray for one another. I was thinking, the Lord sees that. In fact, in the Old Testament, it says that the Lord wrote in his book when he heard people speaking to one another about the Lord. Wow, it's important to the Lord for community. You see, he died for us. We're his body. He's the head. And we have to, just like the hand helps the foot, and the foot helps you to walk and so forth. God has a job for every one of us. You know, in Ephesians 5:19, it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your hearts, in your hearts to the Lord. I was thinking, be filled with the Spirit. You know, we can't abound without the Spirit of God. You know, we can just be an ordinary church with a ritual, but not an abundance. We can't abound unless we have the Spirit of God, because he's the one that encourages us. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that gives us vision. He's the one that helps us to see others as he sees them. If you can see each other as the Lord sees each other, do you know what? We would think a lot differently about each other, because we are his body and we belong to him. And every one of us is important. I was thinking that we use our gifts of the Spirit to edify, encourage one another, pray for each other, minister in the Spirit. Have you ever ministered in the Spirit? Have you ever prayed for someone and the Lord gave you a word about that person's need, and you were able to pray about that need and they didn't even tell you? You know, that's part of ministering in the Spirit. That's part of his gifts that he gives to the church. You know, sometimes I feel that we're not using the gifts that the Lord has given us. He wants to give us more gifts. He says even covet the gifts that we may minister to one another. That's the idea of the gift of the Spirit, is to minister to one another and to help one another, to edify one another. So praise the Lord for that. And together, as Christians, as we come together and we minister to one another and we sing together, and we're rejoicing in the Lord. And oh, then we reach out to our neighbors. and friends in the power of the Holy Spirit to lead them to Jesus. So you see, like, it's not all inward. It's not all that the body doesn't do anything else. The body works together so it may benefit someone else. And I was thinking about, this week I was listening to an evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but I'll tell you one thing. He was telling a story that really struck me. He said he was praying for these people in Africa. He was praying for these people, and he said, the Lord told him to pray for the blind. So he prayed for the blind, and hundreds of people were saying that they could see. But at the very back, he could see this lady raising up this little child, and raising him up, and she couldn't get to the front, so she passed him along. And so he was passed from people to people to people to the front. And he says, first thing you know, he said, I had him in my arms, but he was shaking. And his legs were all twisted, and his limbs were a mess. And he says, I was hanging on to him, and before he got to pray for him, he said, he started to shake, and I dropped him, he said. I felt so bad, I dropped him. But he didn't really drop him. What happened was, the child had been so totally healed that he had fallen down and ran down the aisle. It was totally healed. Wow. Now, I know we say, well, some people have the healing ministry. But you see, God wants us to minister, realizing in the Holy Spirit that we can pray for one another and be excited to see what God's going to do. Praise the Lord. I thought, wow, that's quite a thing. That the Lord helps us to minister in the Holy Spirit. And we can look at people that have evangelists. And we say, well, we're not pastors. We're not evangelists. We're not this. We're not that. Oh, you don't know what you are. Because the Lord's giving the gifts out. And you're the one that just reaches out to the Lord and says, Lord, what's your gift for me? But he wants us to talk about him so much that he's willing to empower us with the Holy Spirit to reach out and touch others. And who knows what ministry is going to happen? Who knows how wonderful God is going to do something in people's hearts? Wow. But I think it's something important is when we work and we work together as a church. We work in love. And we work, as he said a little earlier, thanks to God who gives us the victory. We work with thankfulness, and we work with love. And we're thankful that we're in God's community. We're thankful. Praise the Lord. And we work in love, loving one another. Wow. All the gifts in the world don't count if we don't have love for one another. So God seals us together in his love because he loved us. He gives us the power to love one another. We can't love one another without the Lord. We can see each other's faults. We can see what's wrong with people. But if we love each other in the love of the Lord, we see them as he loves them. And so the Lord has a work for us to do for him. And your work will not be in vain. Imagine that. Even a cup of water that you give will not be in vain as you give the Lord. So I want to just review this a little bit shortly before we close. So just think about this. As a church, let's be steadfast, keeping our eyes on the Lord, focusing on our Savior, because that brings us security when we know what we believe. It brings us security to know that he's alive. He's not just another religion. He's alive. And let's be immovable, standing on his word, getting the stability that we need, hearing the word of God, being careful to come to church on Sundays. Why? To hear the word of God, to help us be stable. And then let's abound in his work, knowing it's not in vain. It's not in vain. When you're spirit-filled and spirit-led by him, we can say, thank you, Lord, for the victory through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. He helps us to take this challenge and fulfill our purpose as his church. You see, we have a purpose as a church, not to just sit around singing hymns. We have a purpose. And that's what our pastor's been trying to say, that when we have all these things put together, then we fulfill the purpose that the Lord has for us. I wanted to share this little thing. It's just a short little thing. My brother-in-law, Gary, he tells of when his son was young. And his son, Greg, would bound into the room and say, what should you and me do, Dad? What should you and me do? And he'd say this every day. What should you and me do? And I thought to myself, wow, that's enthusiasm when a kid comes running in so happy he's going to do something with his dad. And I was thinking, I wonder if we have that attitude when we come before the Lord, say, Lord, what are you and I going to do today? You know, we're not doing this alone. We're not just in a corner somewhere. Lord, what are you and I going to do? What are we going to do, Lord? Wow, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, Lord, what are we going to do with you today? Just while our heads are bowed, I just want to think about that. Just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you and I going to do today? What are you and I going to do today? No, just not me on my own. What am I going to do? What are you and I going to do, Lord, today? Just ask the Lord that. Praise you, Jesus. Because you see, we're a team. We're a team with him. And that's what makes it exciting. It's not what am I going to do, but what are you and I going to do, Lord? Today as we close this service, I just wonder if you just realize that it's you and the Lord. And you're going to do something special as a church. What are we going to do today, Lord? And as a person, as an individual child of God, what are you and I going to do today, Lord? That'll make us abounding. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray that as we think about these things, you'll speak to our hearts and help us to have that abounding way with us, Lord. To just be so excited, Lord, that you and I are going to do something today. Thank you, Lord. Just bless each one in this church, Lord. And I pray that you'll help each one, Lord, to just make it a point of being workers together and workers with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.